As we approach the anniversary of the founding of our nation this July 4th, I want to share this story, this true account in the early history of our nation. The Constitution of the United States exists as the greatest document in history to guarantee freedom. It was a document that almost never came to be. The Constitutional Convention was hopelessly deadlocked. It seemed that the fate of the colonies that had secured its independence at a terrific cost would now sink into oblivion. At this juncture, Benjamin Franklin stood up. The room hushed in awe before this venerable old man. And when he finally spoke, everyone listened. His words echoed throughout the room. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, he said, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of humanity. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in the political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little, partial, local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down through the ages. I therefore beg to move that henceforth. Prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberation be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed with business. Our nation indeed was founded in prayer, regardless of whatever else you may hear. And today I would like to turn in Holy Scripture to the account of another nation that turned to God in prayer, a prayer that indeed proved to be the salvation of that country. Turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one from the pew rack in front of you. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where we will be today. And before we hear God's word, let us prepare our hearts and minds through prayer. Heavenly Father, we are about to read your word. And Father, help us not to presume to understand it in our own puny intellect or with our finite reason. But Lord, help us to hear from you today, that you would be our teacher and through your Spirit you would guide us, as you have promised, into your truth. And help us to base our lives on the truth of your word as we have it in the Holy Scriptures. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 begins in this way. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. And this was some 850 years before Christ. Verse 2 says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea, and that sea is the Dead Sea, to the southeast of Jerusalem. goes on to say, it is already at Hazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi. En-Gedi is about halfway up the western side of the Dead Sea. So here was an army coming from the east, the southeast of Jerusalem. The Dead Sea is fairly close to Jerusalem. Only about 25 miles as the crow flies. I was shocked when I visited Jerusalem that from the Mount of Olives, that you could see down, way down into the Great Rift Valley, some 1,300 feet below sea level. And from the hills around Jerusalem, you can actually see the Dead Sea. So this army is close. It is vast. It is mighty. It is an unconquerable enemy, a vast army, it says, come to make war. If you drop down to verse 12, it says, we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. King Jehoshaphat of Jerusalem, of Judah, was facing an unconquerable enemy, unconquerable in any human strength. And we also need to realize that we face an enemy. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, to be self-controlled and alert, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy of our soul, it tells us in Ephesians 6:12, part of what was read this morning, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The enemy that we face, the enemy of our soul, is indeed an unconquerable enemy. We are powerless against these spiritual forces of darkness, powerless in our own strength. That is, there is no human protection against such an enemy. Jehoshaphat knew that he was helpless, but not hopeless. And in fact, we ourselves are helpless against the enemies we face in this life, but we're not hopeless. Go to verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. It's interesting that in their moment of great weakness, they proposed to become even weaker. You think about that. What did he do? He called a fast. What happens when you fast? Well, most of you will say, well, I get really cranky. The fact is that you just keep trying to go on with life without that nourishment. We don't get cranky first, we get weak. Without food, we are weak. And it's interesting that when we proclaim a fast to the Lord, we are depending not on our own strength, but we are in a physical way, in a powerful way, emphasizing that we're looking to the Lord for our strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. When his time of weakness and this, whatever this thorn in the flesh he had, some kind of physical ailment, he was pleading with the Lord to take it away from him, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I dare say that most of us, I guess none of us, delight in our weaknesses, do we? We like to be in control of things. And yet, when I'm weak, then I'm strong when I'm looking to the Lord. And that's what Jehoshaphat did. He called assembly of all the people, called them to fast and to seek the Lord. They sought the Lord in prayer. This is the second message in an emphasis on prayer, because I believe at this point in our nation's history, I believe at this point in our congregation's history, I have to say I don't know what to do. As we will hear Jehoshaphat saying, there comes times when the difficulties we face are beyond our ability to resolve. And so we seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do here in our nation, in our congregation, in our own lives? And beginning a week from Wednesday, we want to begin to focus on prayer. Prayer for revival in our own lives. Prayer for revival in our church, in our community, in our country. We want to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to do here? Let me yield myself, ourselves to you. What do you have for our congregation that we might be a light in this community? What would you want to do here that can pour out and spill out not only in our community but across our state and across our nation? Lord, let it begin with me. Well, let's again turn back to 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat was helpless, but not hopeless. He sought the Lord in prayer. In verse 12, he says, we have no power to face this vast army. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So let's take that up in verse 3. He says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And then in verse 4, it tells us the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Here's, in a nutshell, Jehoshaphat's prayer. In verse 12 it says, O our God, will you not judge these people that are coming against us? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Jehoshaphat begins by recognizing who God is, how great he is, the promises he's made to the people of Israel. And he says, I'll take you up on those promises. And we ought to take God up on his promises and said, God, you did promise. You want to fulfill your word if we would just turn to you in prayer, to humble ourselves and to wait upon you, to seek you. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter, is it 7:14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear their prayer and forgive their sin and heal their land. Boy, that's what we need. And so what happened here? God spoke to them. They sought the Lord and God answered. In verse 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Pause there a moment. The battle is not yours, but God's. The enemy is unconquerable, but we're not meant to fight this battle. The enemy cannot be defeated in human terms, but it's not human strength that's going to go out against this enemy. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, here's what they are to do. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. God didn't say, stick your head in the sand and hope that everything's going to turn out okay. God says, go out and face your greatest fear. Go out and face this unconquerable enemy. But go out as you do that and take up your battle positions to face this army, knowing that you're not going to have to fight it. We are not to sit back and cringe in fear and oh, what's going to happen to poor us? No, we seek the Lord, and when God speaks, he says, go in my strength. Go, because the battle is mine. It's my enemy more than your enemy. And you will win this victory, not by your strength, but by mine. It says, and the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. And then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord. And you may not know who all those people are, but they're the praise team. They are the choir. The Levites are the workers in the temple, and these ones have been dedicated to worship the Lord, and they stood up and praised the Lord. More on praise in a minute. Verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will succeed. And so from this portion of the passage, we get this powerful truth. This truth that is echoed throughout the scriptures. Stand firm in faith. Stand firm in faith. It may seem like foolishness to us. Go out and meet this army. But stand firm in faith. Have faith in the Lord. Our faith is not in our own ability or our own strength. Our faith is in God. And our faith is in God's word. Have faith in his prophets. And now we have the word of the prophets here in scripture. And in Jesus, the greatest of all. We have his words. We can have faith and trust in this word. So stand firm in faith. You know, when David faced Goliath, David said, the Lord does not save with sword or spear. The battle is the Lord's. And whenever we face our giants, we have to realize the battle's the Lord. Again, this is a main theme in Scripture. When Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and Jerusalem heard this prophecy that came from the Lord, it should have reminded them of when God rescued their ancestors from the Egyptians. You know, after fleeing slavery in Egypt, the people of Israel then became trapped by the Red Sea. The Red Sea was out in front of them. The Egyptian army, the greatest army in the world at the time, was behind them. There were mountains to either side of them, and they were trapped. But Moses said, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Be still and know that I am God, God tells us. Be still and know that I am God. 120 years after Jehoshaphat and Jerusalem faced this great army, Jerusalem again came under attack under the reign of King Ahaz. And when Ahaz heard the news of this approaching army, it says, the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind. What do we do? Then God told the prophet Isaiah, now go tell Ahaz, say to him, be careful, be calm, do not lose heart, don't be afraid. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place, it will not happen. listen to this, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Isaiah said to Ahaz when he was shaken in his boots, if you will not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And then he said, Isaiah said, and therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah prophesied back 700 years before Christ about Emmanuel, which means God with us. God sent his son so that we would know that God is with us. He is here to fight our battles. We don't have to stand in our own strength. We stand firm in faith. If we don't stand firm in faith, we won't stand at all. There's much more I could say about standing firm in faith, and I have a whole bunch of references there. Take them home. Do a Bible study on that. Get confidence that we can stand firm in faith. And then finally, make a note on the power of praise. Jehoshaphat puts together a battle strategy that has to be the most unique battle strategy in the history of mankind. Instead of putting out his shock troops in the front lines, he leads out with the praise team, the singers. He leads out with the choir. He puts the choir on the front lines. It says this, after consulting the people, he wanted to make sure they were on board with this. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them, and after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. I don't know what God did to cause such confusion, but the alliance that came up against Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem fell apart, and they slaughtered one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And it goes on to say that they took 3 days to collect all the spoil, and at the end of that, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, and they praised the Lord, and that is why this is called the Valley of Barakah to this day. Barakah means praise. Let's take a few lessons from here and finish this service. Lessons to live by. What battle are you facing? What enemy is before you? Remember that if God is for us, who can stand against us? Romans 8, 31 and 32. Verse 37 of that chapter says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Second, faith gives courage to face our enemies. Whatever crisis, whatever uncertainties, whatever problems, whatever troubles, whatever we face that is our enemy, faith gives courage to face that in the strength of the Lord. And finally, praise defeats our enemies by God's powers. Now, I'm not talking about human enemies, but I am talking about those things which come against us, that weigh us down, that defeat us, whether they're the temptations of the devil or our own worries and frustrations. When we praise God, you can't focus on your problems. When you praise God, God is the one who comes into clearer focus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, we sang earlier in this service. And it helps us to remember, if the battle is the Lord's, the victory is the Lord's. What's the greatest enemy that we face? The Bible says that Jesus Christ has already conquered that enemy. The last enemy is death. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Stand firm, it says in the New International Version. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, this is your word and these are your promises. And Heavenly Father, we look to you. We don't always know what to do, but Lord, may our eyes be upon you. Lord, as we gather for prayer, as we seek you, would you speak to us and then guide us forward against whatever the forces we may face. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. We are helpless, but we're never hopeless. We thank you that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, for our congregation and for each one individually in their daily lives, let us put our hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.